Predators win it 5-4 in overtime against the Vegas Golden Knights after going down 4-1 at the end of the second period. And joining us now to break it all down, talk the game last night, and looking ahead to the playoffs is our friend Adam Vingan. Vingan, it is always a pleasure to have you here on our airwaves, but especially after a game last night. I do want to talk seeding. I want to talk playoff matchups. But before we look ahead, we have to look back at last night. Your takeaways from the game last night, and what do you feel like you learned about the team after that 5-4 comeback in overtime?
Well, as I was telling Nick before, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see the comeback live because it was prime bedtime for my son.
I understand.
So I checked the score as we were starting, and it was either 3-0 or 4-1 at the time. And I said to myself, it was a good run. There are worse things. I mean, excuse me, there's no shame in losing to Vegas to end a point streak that lasted a month and a half. But after I got Arlo down and went back upstairs and I checked the score, I had to do a double take to make sure I wasn't seeing things, you know, when the Predators ultimately won 5-4. And my takeaway from it is, look, the Predators have earned every single point that they have accrued during this 18-game point streak. Mm-hmm. There is nothing fluky about what they have done since mid-February. But sometimes in situations like this, you have a golden horseshoe rammed up your rear end. And that's what that was last night. You know, Vegas being up 3-0 at the start of the third period, I have to imagine, I think Willie tweeted it out, I don't have the number in front of me, pretty automatic for the Vegas Golden Knights to win when leading after two periods. So the fact that the Predators were able to come back, win that game, and add to their point streak just shows you that something special seems to be happening with this team. And when I look at the numbers that they've put up over this point streak, as I said, there is nothing fluky about this. Mm-hmm. Since that point streak started in February, they are first in the league in goals for per game. They're first in the league in goals against per game. They're fourth in the league in expected goals for per game, which is a way to measure shot quality. And they're second in expected goals against per game, which is a fancy way of saying that they're playing incredibly well offensively in terms of the quality of chances and shots that they're creating. And they're playing incredibly well defensively in terms of the quality that they're not allowing their opponents to have. And on top of that, they're getting great goaltending too. So when I look at this whole point streak in its entirety, I see a team that's playing like the best team in the NHL for the past 6 weeks. Not just based on the record, but based on the process, there is nothing fluky about this.
The fluke ended, I think, a while ago. Has been cute and, you know, fun while the hot streak has lasted. That ended a month ago. Now we are in the territory, and I'll ask you, are we in the territory to say that the Predators are a cup contender?
Well, you know, that's the question, right? And I've heard Jared talk about this quite a bit. And, you know, I would have a hard time disagreeing with him just based on how this team is playing. And I shared this information with Jared in research I was doing for work. I was looking at teams that have had point streaks at the time of 17 games or more over the past 15 years. So the Predators are the sixth team in the past 15 years, since 2008-2009, to have a point streak of 18 games or more. Here are the other five teams and how they finished their season. The 2013 Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. The 2022 Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. The 2019 Boston Bruins lost in the Cup Final to Caroline Yor, St. Louis Blues. In 2018, Boston lost in the second round. 2017, Columbus Blue Jackets lost in the first round. So three of the other five teams made it to the Stanley Cup Final, 2-1 the Stanley Cup Final. So based on that alone, it's hard to argue against the Predators, you know, having a legitimate chance to at least get to the Stanley Cup Final. You know, they're sort of reminiscent to me lately of I can't remember. I think it was the 2012 Los Angeles Kings. You know, a team that got into the postseason as an 8 seed and then just ran roughshod over the rest of the NHL in the postseason and won the Stanley Cup. I guess if you want to use a more recent example, you can look at last season's Florida Panthers, who were an 8 seed and almost won the Stanley Cup. Although that Panthers team was supposed to be better than their record was in the regular season, they turned it on in the postseason. I can't remember a team, in recent memory at least, that had little to no preseason expectations like the Predators did entering the season and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup or getting close to it. If the Predators were to do that, it might be extreme to say unprecedented, but I can't think of a team in recent memory that had people picking them to miss the playoffs more often than not at the start of the season, turning it around and ultimately winning the championship.
We're talking to Adam Vingan, talking Nashville Predators and their big comeback last night, beating the Vegas Knights 5-4. Now, Adam, how would you, because we were discussing this, Caroline and I, about whether this, or whether the Predators are playing the best hockey in the NHL or not. But how do you compare this team, say, to prior Predator teams that sort of had really good seasons or went on really good runs? Let's just look back at the 2017 team that ended up ultimately going on a run to the Stanley Cup. Now, I don't think many picked them to go to Stanley Cup, but they went on a hell of a run, and it was great to see here. I sort of kind of see that the same way here. No one picked them to do much of anything. Now, all of a sudden, the last 2 months, they've been the best team in hockey, at least to me. And I think this can also spill over into the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, Derek, a lot of times we talk about, not just in hockey, but in all sports, you want to be playing your best hockey, basketball, football, whatever, as you're entering the postseason. And that's what the Predators have been doing. Another thing I want to note about this point streak, the Predators are 7-0 against playoff teams during this point streak in terms of teams that were in a playoff spot. I'm including Detroit in this because although Detroit is not currently in a playoff spot, they were in a playoff spot when the Predators played them over the weekend. So they're 7-0 against playoff teams. They've beaten Vegas twice, Los Angeles, Colorado, Winnipeg, Florida, and Detroit. So they're beating good teams. That's important. Of course, the two games they've lost are against teams that are non-playoff teams, Minnesota in overtime when John Hines showed some big ones pulling the goaltender, and Montreal a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, when I think back, it's easy to look back to the 2016-17 Predators, the team that went to the Stanley Cup final and lost to Pittsburgh. If I recall correctly, and my memory is gone over the past 6 or 7 years, that team, similar to the Panthers last season, had preseason expectations. Maybe they weren't a favorite entering the season, but people picked them to be a playoff team. They were underachieving in the regular season, but then turned it on, of course, sweeping the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round and going from there. This team, if I recall correctly, because talk about 7 years ago, I'm talking about like 6 months ago. I don't think this team had very many, if any, preseason expectations. I bet if you were to go back and look at stories written in September about which teams are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, I would say the vast majority did not pick the Predators to make it. And it's understandable. They missed the postseason last year. They made a lot of changes. They were going a little bit younger in some important positions. So to me, this run is more impressive than what the Predators did in 2016-17. Of course, we'll have to see what happens in the playoffs. But just based on what we thought this team would be versus what they have shown themselves to be, I think this is perhaps the most impressive run of any Predators team that I can remember since I've been to Nashville, and that's 9 years. So, I mean, this is, like I said, this is something that, you know, it seems really special. There's just something about this group that, is it just because they couldn't go to see U2? Is that it? They were so pissed off that they couldn't go see Bono at the Sphere that they decided to not lose for a month and a half? Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know. But as I said, when you look at all of the numbers, not the regular statistics and the fancy statistics, There's nothing about this that says the Predators are, for example, it's not like UC Saros has been standing on his head for a month and a half and been stealing game after game after game. This team is playing incredibly well in front of him. And I think that's what makes them so dangerous.
Now, is there anything that you may be a little bit concerned about, moving forward? Because you look at yesterday's game and, you know, Vegas got out on them very quickly, 3-0 before they could even take, you know, two breaths, it seemed like. Are you concerned about that, or do you just think that was, hey, that's a one-off? They finally, as long as they regrouped, got everything back together, and then ultimately win the game, that's what counts.
Yeah, and look, Vegas had reason to be motivated. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Vegas is probably going to make the playoffs. I don't expect them to fall off, but this was their probably last best chance to catch the Predators in the standings. So they had every reason to be motivated, and you saw that in the first period and you know, the fact that they were up 4-1 after the third period. But, you know, another thing that, you know, I was looking at is, you know, a lot of the Predators have done a lot of their damage during this point streak, if I'm not mistaken, at 5-on-5, which is great because the majority of the game is played at 5-on-5. But I was just looking at where their special teams ranked over the past 18 games. They're 13th on the power play and 7th on the penalty kill, which is solid. So, yeah, I mean, there really isn't anything that stands out to me that should be a cause for concern. Like I was saying before, if the Predators were, let's say, first in goals against per games played, but like 20th in expected goals, which means that their goalies are stealing games for them, that would concern me a little bit, because there's only, you know, UC Saros is a fantastic goaltender, mm-hmm. but there's only so much you can lean on your goaltender before eventually, if that falls off, then you're screwed. But the fact that they have stayed, the fact that they have kept everything up, you know, there's not an obvious weakness I have seen over these past 18 games that should give fans a cause for concern at the moment.
Hey, I mean, if they love you two so much that that's going to light the fire underneath them, like, whatever works. Like, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. Adam Vingan is with us. Adam, let's talk seeding. Let's talk playoffs. The most likely opponents that the Predators will see in the first round, Vancouver, Colorado, Dallas, possibly Edmonton. We'll just go ahead and throw them into the mix. How would you rank those teams? One being, this is the team that I would rather face. Four being, I don't want a piece of that team.
Okay, so let's go. Let's see. I would, you know, and I was on with Derek and Willie last week. I said that the team I thought was the most advantageous matchup for the Predators was the Stars. And the reason I said that was, when you look at the teams that they're likely to play, I think the likeliest in terms of percentage chance is Vancouver, then Colorado. So if you're including Vancouver, Colorado, and Dallas, they're three of the top five scoring teams in the NHL. But of those three teams, I think Dallas's goaltending has been the weakest of that group this season. So my argument was that if the Predators, who have been playing great defensively, can neutralize Dallas's offense, Jake Oettinger, Dallas's goaltender, is vulnerable. So I'll stick with Dallas for right now. But really, between Dallas, Colorado, and Vancouver, it's difficult. I might put Vancouver second, just because the Predators haven't played Vancouver since the beginning of the season. All of the games against Vancouver, I think, were when the Predators were not very good. So, you know, I wonder how this Predators team would match up against the Vancouver team currently. Then I would put Colorado. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Nathan MacKinnon has a point in every single home game that the Avalanche have played this year.
He's absurd, and that team at home is absurd.
This is what I think I looked this up earlier. Nathan MacKinnon has 77 points at home only, 77 home points. There are only 19 players in the NHL who have more points overall than Nathan MacKinnon has at home, just at home. So he is now the first player in NHL history with multiple 19-game point streaks in a single season. He was tied with Wayne Gretzky, but he made it 19 games in a row last night. He has two 19-game point streaks this season. He's the only player in NHL history to do that. He's probably going to be the MVP. the last, I would not want to face Nathan MacKinnon in the playoff series right now, especially with the Avalanche having home ice advantage. So keep me away from that. And then I would agree with Jared, who said this yesterday at the end of his show, based on history, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl average like 8 points a game against the Predators. And Edmonton, who got off to a terrible start to the season, has been excellent for the past three quarters of the season. So I would say from one, I think, best matchup to worst matchup, I would say Dallas, Vancouver, Colorado, Edmonton.
Okay, interesting. And last one from me, Adam. Roman Josi Norris, Roman Josi Hart, Andrew Brunette, Jack Adams. Your thoughts?
Roman Josi Norris.
Throw Barry in there, too, for GM of the year.
Okay, let's... Okay, we'll do that. So, Roman Josi Norris, based on how he's played over the second half of the season, he should absolutely be a finalist, and I think he will be a finalist. I'm not convinced he's going to win because I believe the overall body of work that Quinn Hughes has had in Vancouver this season, I think will ultimately lead him to win the award over Josi, who's had an outstanding second half. I'm just wondering if Hughes' full season will be more important to voters than Josi's second half of the season. Same thing with the Hart. Of course, I think Josi should be considered for the Hart Trophy, but I do not think he's going to be a finalist. I think he's going to end up on a lot of ballots. You have to fill out five players. The top three are finalists. I think he's going to end up on a lot of ballots, but I think there are too many players in front of him for him to be a finalist. I mentioned MacKinnon, Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid, Artemi Panarin. There are a lot of players, I think, that have had fantastic seasons that will prevent Josi from being a finalist. But would it shock me if he finished fourth, fifth, sixth in the voting? No, not at all. Andrew Brunette for Jack Adams? I mean, I think he should be the favorite because oftentimes when you look at that award, it's, okay, which coach of the team that is defying expectations. I jumbled that up, but you're getting what I'm saying. The Predators, as we talked about, you know, are playing way above what everybody expected them to. The fact that Andrew Brunette has been able to get them to this point in his first season with the team absolutely deserves that recognition. There are a lot of other coaches, of course, that will demand those votes as well. That's something you'll have to talk about with Willie because Willie votes on the Jack Adams. I don't. So you will have to petition Willie for that. But of course, Willie having a front row seat to what Andrew Brunette has done, I imagine will give him some love. Barry Trotz for General Manager of the Year. Again, I have a hard time picking against Barry in this. But here's the weird thing about the GM of the Year award. Mm-hmm. It's voted on after the second round of the playoffs. The other awards are all regular season awards, so you have to turn in your ballots at the end before the start of the playoffs. The GM of the Year award, I believe, you turn in the ballots at the conclusion of the second round. So if the Predators are out by then, I don't think he'll win. If the Predators make it to the Western Conference Final, absolutely, I think that he could win it. But what Brunette and Trotz have been able to do with this team, put their stamp on it, change things up and get them to where they are right now when everybody expected them to be, you know, a few years out from being a contender. Yeah, they absolutely deserve it. So I'll say Josi, Norris, he should definitely be considered. He probably won't win. Same with the Hart. I think that Brunette should be a favorite for the Jack Adams and Trotz should be a favorite for GM.
He's got my vote. I don't vote, but if I did, he'd have it. Adam Vingan, appreciate you as always. Dad of the year on bedtime duty last night, but still was able to see that 5-4 overtime win. Adam, always appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.